awesome time of worship we've had today. And God, we have seen you do some amazing things in our lives, and Lord, we thank you for those. And Father, we've seen you do amazing things in the lives of those around us that we pray for, that we seek longing for you to take care of. And God, we know that no matter what this world throws at us, we have a God that goes far beyond this world and brings us our hope of joy, brings us our hope of comfort, knowing that you are a God that just uplifts, carries through, redeems, forgives, and welcomes us home. And God, we just thank you for that today. And Father, for the promises that it is. And Father, we just lift it all to you. May we continue the spirit of worship as we clear our minds and our hearts and we listen to your word today. God, we just praise you in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning as we continue to get into our time together this morning. I trust that you've had a great week. And as we continue to try to get my computer to work, there we go. All right. What we want to look at this morning is something interesting. And again, we had mentioned last week that we were going to go into the book of Mark. And we're still going to head there. We're going to get there. But just a little bit of an idea, of a little bit of review. So it begins. And I just want that phrase to stick in your mind a little bit, because when you and I realize that there was a beginning of our life when the doctor held you and smacked you and you cried, you began life. And you've been dying every day since then. You die a little bit every day, right? And so when we realize that, the beginning that we're going to get into isn't that beginning. The beginning that we're going to get into this morning is the beginning of a message. It's the beginning of something that is going to happen or has happened. As we look at John Mark, he's looking at it from a historical point of view by the time this letter was written. And so when we see what he says in the very beginning of his book, in the beginning, we're gonna tear that all apart today. Now, if you see the screen carefully, it says we're going to go through Mark 1:1. Don't let that deceive you. You ain't getting out early. Just want to put that right out there. There is so much in the very first verse of Mark that we need to tear it apart. Because this book is probably one of the, and this is the reason why I chose through prayer to preach through this book. Because Mark was an individual that was quite interesting, and we're going to see a little bit about that. Last week we saw how Peter in prison, when he came out of prison miraculously by God, he went to a home that the church was at and was praying for him, and it just so happened to be the home of the parents of John Mark. And so he has seen God do some amazing things. He knows God can do some amazing things. And yet we also know that through the book of Acts and him going on his journey with Paul and Barnabas, he went to the very first point, saw all that was going on in the persecution, and said, I'm going back home. Now, I can't fault John Mark too much for that. Because I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I just want to go back home. I didn't sign up for this. I'm going home. I'm getting out of here. And so John Mark goes back home, and again, we know that Paul and Barnabas have this great confrontation, and Paul takes Silas, Barnabas takes John Mark, and then we don't hear much about them. In fact, if you go to that text in Acts, I believe it's in chapter 15, if you go to that, you'll never hear another thing about John Mark and Barnabas or in the book of Acts. So once they depart, once they go and separate from Paul, you don't hear anything more about him until later on in Paul's life when Paul calls him a fellow servant, John Mark. So this author intrigued me because of all the people God could have used to pen the scriptures, he uses John Mark. And there's an interesting reason for all that. So we're gonna pick apart a little bit. We're going to introduce the book a little bit today. So the first thing we need to see is that the key events in John Mark's life. First of all, as we mentioned, Mark traveled with Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. As we mentioned in Acts 12, verse 25. They went together, they separated, and then shortly thereafter. But again, as Paul had separated with them, Mark went with Barnabas, and then Paul went with Silas in Acts 15. The next thing we need to realize is that he was discipled by Barnabas. Don't let that slip your mind. Because Barnabas wasn't part of the apostolate 12. Barnabas wasn't part of the Council of 15 in Jerusalem. Barnabas was a man who loved God. And he took John Mark and he began to disciple John Mark, and he was with him for quite a while. And so he was discipled by John Mark. Interesting, the gospel, basically, for the writing of the gospel and the preaching of Peter. That's where he got a lot of his resource. John Mark got almost all the truth and the facts listening to Peter preach. And no doubt having conversation with him. He probably heard Paul preach a few times. But listen, there is no greater billboard for taking good notes than that. You're all looking at me like, I ain't taking no notes. No. Take notes. Write your Bible up. Mark your Bible up. Ignore all the things your parents told you when you tried as a young child to write in a book. Write in your Bible. Because it's the greatest heritage, the greatest gift you can leave behind to your children and your grandchildren. A marked up Bible about what God has done in your life. And there ain't no greater treasure than that. So, as you do that, all right, maybe, as we continue on, basically, also an interesting truth about that is it's the first gospel written. Mark was the very first letter written other than Matthew, Luke, and John. In fact, a lot of Matthew and Luke, they say a lot of the same as what Mark had said. So it's interesting to see this Mark come on scene, and he's going to write a letter. And again, he was with Peter a lot in Rome, and we understand as he listened, studied, he was no doubt somebody as had an idea that God was calling him into ministry, or God was calling him to go with Paul and Barnabas, and he was too young in the ministry, or too young in his spiritual walk with God to know that when you sign up to be a representative of Christ, you're going to get persecution. You haven't had it yet. I think it's common, but you haven't had it yet. We don't even know what persecution is. I mean, I've had several doors slammed in my face. That's about extent of my persecution. I've had several people say, I don't want nothing you have, get out of my room. Oh, that hurts so bad. Listen, America doesn't know what persecution is like. There may come a day that we do. And when we do, we need to realize that you never forget your God in the midst of it. John Mark didn't forget his God, even though he went through things, walked away from things. He still was a man that God used in an amazing way. So for Mark, when we see Mark chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when you hear that today, it's probably, okay, that's the norm of a lot of letters. That's the norm of what's going on. But you have to understand, when he begins his letter like this, it states the theme, it states the title, it states the purpose. And so we have John Mark. He is now in Rome. He was there when Peter was in prison. He's in Rome and he's writing this letter. And do you think Rome was a nice place to live as a Christian? Do you think Rome was a place that really catered to Christians? Absolutely not. In fact, if you were a Christian in Rome in this time, you were persecuted. People did talk about you. People did look down at you. People did ignore you. People didn't want what you have. In fact, you were martyred and you were killed for that very reason. And so when we look at this world, Mark's whole concept of writing this and his whole idea of coming into this mindset of writing this is, listen, we're going to get to his audience. His audience, basically these Christians in Rome, were those living outside of Jerusalem. Most of the people that he was writing to didn't live in Jerusalem. They weren't a part of all that was going on in Jerusalem. They were away from the, the sacred, holy ground of Jerusalem. And so they needed to understand and they needed to know some very important things. According to Romans 1:8, they believed, but they needed to be reminded of its implication for their lives in a hostile world. America needs to be reminded of the implications of being a child of God in our hostile world. You see, this message that Mark is writing about and what Mark is going to talk about and what he's going to say through his whole letter is so prevalent for you and I today, because we are living in that hostile world. At any given minute, there could be a third world start. At any given minute, things could go so out there that you and I wonder what world we're living in. In a hostile world against Christians, against Christ, Mark said they need to be encouraged. They need to be reminded of the implication. What does it mean that he is the Son of God? What does it mean, Jesus Christ? What does that name mean? And so when we begin to get into this study, the full foundation of everything that he says after verse 1 is all based upon that understanding. And it's very important that we start there this morning. It's very important that we understand this, because he wrote his book in a pastoral mindset, in a pastoral way that he had done, and what God had done, what God was doing, and what God will keep on doing for them. Listen, you know, we live in America, we live in a world where we need to be reminded what God has done. We need to be reminded what he is doing. We need to be reminding of what he's going to do. And as we go through church, you know, and as I started studying for this, and I started reading this, I'm like, these guys all know this stuff. Listen, after 30 years, you can only preach so much, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? We need that reminder, don't we? We need to be reminded, because I think the same reason why they didn't get it and needed reminded is the same reason we need reminded. At times, we don't get it. And you know, absolutely perfectly timed in God's timing for that testimony to come today, because that is the name of Jesus Christ. We can get up. We can work through. We can accomplish great things. We are more than conquerors, Romans 8. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because he loves me. I'm a conqueror simply because he loves me. And that being said, Mark had that. Mark knew that. And in writing this letter, he's writing it in a pastoral mindset as if, listen, you need to be reminded. You need to understand. And listen, Mark is on a very fast pace when he writes this. Over 40 times, you'll see straight away or immediately through this whole letter. So in 40 times, he's jumping from one event to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And as he jumps through these events, he doesn't give a lot of details. But what Mark writes is more about what Christ had done in his earthly ministry, more so than the theology of Christ. The other gospels write more of the theology and less of what he had done, because Mark wanted them to be reminded of what he has done. You know that word remembrance? It does amazing, amazing in our heart and life when we just remember what God has done and what God has accomplished. So we're gonna dive into this a little bit today. Again, we're going to stay in verse 1 as we go through this. And I shared with Kim this morning, I said, this is probably going to be the most hermeneutical, off-the-wall, unorthodox message they ever heard. And her response was, should I be scared? Should I be nervous? Oh, you're going to get the truth. It's just not going to be in a real good literary form. But because when we tear this verse apart, we're going to look at it individually. First thing we got to see, as we see the audience, the title and the theme. That's the most important thing of a foundation of where we're going to go. Because in the title and the theme, again, the very first word we see is beginning. The beginning. Historical facts about the life, death, and burial of Jesus Christ. The only thing Mark wanted them to remember was the historical fact. Again, this is like 67, 68 AD. This is like back way years after all that happened in Jerusalem. And the missionary journeys were going on and things were happening. The gospel of Christ was being shared and told. There was saved individuals in Rome. And you know what was happening is they were getting caught up in their world. They were getting caught up in the Roman way. They were fearing man more than God. All these things were going on in Rome. And Mark says, you got to be reminded. You got to be reminded. The beginning is the historical fact. The gospel, basically the gospel is very simple because the gospel, or as known, good news, is something significant has happened. Something very significant in life has happened. Have you had that moment? And I'm just going to alliterate what Judy has said. Have you had that come to Jesus moment in your life? If you've had that come to Jesus moment in your life, will you remember that moment? Just remember where you were. Remember maybe how life was just absolutely a hot mess for you. Remember how your life was going one direction and you were thinking you controlled and you were thinking you were able to run your life and you were putting your best foot forward and maybe you were doing well for a while, but all of a sudden things start falling apart. And then God is simply saying, listen, come to me, all ye. Come to me. Because none of us are good enough. None of us are ever going to make it. And we need to be reminded of that. Why? Because sometimes we're just too good for our own little britches, aren't we? Sometimes we are getting too good for our own spiritual mindset because we live in a world that bombards us with everything that I can accomplish. Everything that I can do. And listen, if we dice it down far enough, I think we would all realize how we are programmed to perform even on our spiritual walk, even in my preaching, even in your prayers. We're performing to God because we're praying the answers. We're not praying the need. God, will you? Wait a minute, I thought that was his choice. I thought that's what he did. God, I'm having this struggle in my life. Will you? Okay, now God, you do what you got to do. You listen to yourself pray. You listen to your, just listen. And you will see how programmed we are to put I way too much into it. And why? Because that's the world we live in. Listen, you're not going to walk through this world and not smell like this world sometimes. You're not going to come through this world perfectly fine. You're going to get the brokenness. You're going to get hit. You're going to get these things. So when we put that into perspective, what Mark is saying, the gospel or the good news, something very significant happened in your life. Don't ever forget it. When we forget that, we forget everything. So let's do just a little bit of a quick study as a foundation. The Old Testament. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Now we're going to go back to the people who would have read this. They would have understood. We need to realize that most of the Jewish custom, or most of the Christians even, would have been to the synagogues, would have understood the Word of God, would have understood the Old Testament. As listen, you always have that nervous twitch to the back of the church at noon. They were there for 3 and 4 hours just listening to the Word of God being read. I'm going to give you some free counseling right now. Is your life a hot mess? Is your life falling apart? Don't call anyone. Call on God. Just read His Word. Because that's Him talking to you. Listen, God knows your heart better than you do. God knows your struggle better than you do. God knows what's going on in your life. And listen, we go to everybody to help. We go to every place to help. We go to every book. Help to book. You're going to be a millionaire. Write a help to book on how to cut your grass. You'll still be a millionaire. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Or, excuse me, I stated my age by writing a book. Just be an influencer on Twitter. They've replaced all the books. I mean, just listen, all you got to do is do a little makeup. All you got to do is a little bit of puffing up. All you got to do is a little primping up. And all you got to do is say, my life is great. If you just drink this stuff, you'll be a millionaire. I don't know how that all works. Really, I don't. But it's amazing. The Old Testament supports this. Go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. The very first thing, they should have known this. Verse 9 says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up on the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice and with strength lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the city of Judah, behold your God. Man, this same phrase, bringest good tidings, is the same Greek equivalent of gospel. Stand up, proclaim the good news. Stand up and say something about your God. Oh, it just goes on. We got to go on. Let's go to chapter 52, verse 7. Isaiah had this down pat. And they would have known this as they listened to the messages, as they listened to the verses. Chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, the gospel, that published peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that published a salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reign. Oh, man. I could see Isaiah getting a little bit more excited than I do even, you know. This is Isaiah at his best. And then go to chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open up the prisons of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes of the oil, of the joy of mourning, the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's what it means to share the good news. And I want to tell you what, they should have known. They should have understood. And so when John Mark, again, we're just going to be John Mark or Mark, it's the same concept. Mark is a synonym name, our surname for John. Listed there, you can go to Acts 12:12 if you want to find that difference. But as we look at what he is saying, his first words were, in the beginning, the gospel. In the beginning of that significant moment in your life, the gospel, the significant message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection came to you. Now, the rest of his letter is going to talk about that. The rest of his letter is going to tell you about him coming to you. It's going to tell you about how he did it. It's going to show you some of the things he did. It's going to show you some of the parables. It's going to show you some of the understanding. Everything is based on the fact that you had a beginning. And my prayer today is that every one of you, you know what my goal is in life? Is that when a rapture happens, this church is completely empty. If that doesn't happen, I'll feel really bad, but it isn't my fault. Because the truth is preached. It's what you do with the truth. Have you had that come to Jesus moment? If not, then the rest of the book of Mark is not going to make sense to you, because you're going to be no better than the Sadducees, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You're going to be no better than the religious leaders of the day that just didn't get it. That just didn't get it. My heart breaks for people who just don't get it. I pass them by every day. You pass them by every day. And maybe you talk to them every day. Maybe they're part of your family. Maybe they're people that you know and you see every day, and they're just not getting it. Man. And the reason it breaks my heart is because I know the end of the story. I know the end of the book. And the end of the book isn't very nice for those who don't get it. I, like Christ, wants no one to perish, but some will. That alone ought to stir up the heart of God in you. It ought to stir up the name of Jesus Christ in that gospel message. Listen, folks, I'm being as transparent as I possibly can be. I am extremely busy. You are extremely busy. And at times when we get so busy, we lose the purpose of our calling. Listen, you're all called, by the way, just saying. It's just not a full-time pastor called, which he better be. It's everyone is called to many, everyone is called to share the good news. This is John Mark. He's not part of the 12. This is John Mark. He's not one of the leading founding fathers of the new church in Jerusalem. He is a young man who got it, just like you and just like me. He's a young man who wanted to share the gospel message founded on the truth of the Old Testament. Proclaim it. Speak about it. Listen, God reigns. He's still on the throne. And the difference is how we live our life. Are we living our life like he still reigns and he's still on the throne? The next thing we see about the title and the theme in this verse, we come to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, this name, Jesus Christ, as Scripture says, is a name above all other names. It's the only name whereby men can be saved. It's the only name that makes a difference when it comes to the payment and the penalty of our sin. There is no other God that can claim to be Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what religion, it doesn't matter what God, you can put whatever name you want to put to it. I believe in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is the only one. We're living in a day and age where that's not understood, where that's not believed. And so when we see this Son of God, Jesus Christ, we need to be careful. What we need to first understand is they would have understood a little bit different. Jesus, or the Greek word equivalent for the Hebrew meaning Yahweh, is salvation. Again, they weren't being told anything they didn't already know. They were looking for the Messiah to come. They were wanting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, if you know the story of when he was on earth and when he was coming to earth and the Messiah was entering Jerusalem, all of Jerusalem, Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Messiah is here. We're finally going to be free from all the persecution. We're going to be free from all the Roman evil. We're going to be free from all these things. And he died. Talk about bursting your bubble. But if he didn't die, none of us would be free from the evil of the world we have. You see, they didn't understand. They should have known that just by the name, he was the name that the Old Testament prophesied would be the salvation of the soul. They should have known. They should have got it. And then you put Christ to it. Christ, the Greek word here for Christ, is equivalent for the Hebrew word meaning Messiah, the anointed one. So in the original reading that they would have seen or they would have heard, it would have simply said, Yahweh, our salvation, Messiah, the anointed one, Jesus Christ. No wonder they were offended. You see, when you and I see the words and hear the words Jesus Christ, we understand who that is. They understood him of yet to come. We understood him as one who has came and paid the penalty of our sin, death, burial, and resurrection. That's the whole letter of Mark. He said, listen, you got to be reminded. He came. Don't listen. The next time he comes, it's too late. The second coming of Jesus Christ is too late for you and I to know who he is. He already came. Remember what he has done. To remember what he's doing. To remember what he's going to do. And that is so important in our life. We need to realize that Jesus Christ has came. And with him coming, we need to put it into perspective of where we are with that. And so when we again look at the first verse, the beginning, your come to Jesus moment, the gospel, the good news that the Messiah, the salvation of our soul, the anointed one, the Son of God came. Man, I'm going to tell you, that ought to change your Monday morning. That ought to change every thought in your head. That ought to change every step you make. The fact that he came and did what he did for you and for me. Listen, we know this. We know this in word. We know this in theology. But are we living this every day of our life? If we would live like this, if we would live like Jesus Christ is right here, we wouldn't be able to hold all the people in this church. We wouldn't be able to hold all the people because, listen, Jesus Christ is a magnet. People come when you live like Christ. People want you have when you live like Christ. Why? Because we live in a world of hurting people. We live in a world of hopeless people. We live in a world where people are begging for the truth. They want truth, and they don't know where to go to get it because there ain't nothing out there true. No matter who's speaking. I remember one time an individual told me, he said, "You see that person?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know how to tell when they're lying?" I said, "No." He said, "Every time they open their mouth." Wow. That's kind of harsh, but found out that it was true. But anyway, listen, we need to understand. We got the truth. To me, that's amazing. What are we doing with the truth? Are we, as Isaiah, standing at the top of the mountain proclaiming it? He is risen. He is reigning. He is alive. Do we only sing that song at Easter? You know the song, right? You're all looking at me like, what song? Yeah. He's alive. He's alive. He is risen. My sins are forgiven. He's alive. Man, we don't sing that every morning when we wake up. Well, maybe in your shower. Some of you may not know, you know, you're singing on your own deal. But that song, the heart of that song ought to be something that we have so deep in our life that when we wake up in the morning, our purpose is only proclaim the gospel. Use words if necessary. Proclaim the gospel with your life. You see, I think that's what changed John Mark. I think Barnabas took him. Barnabas let him disciple under him. Showed him how to live a life for God. Showed him. In fact, the book of Mark basically is a book of discipleship. It's how God did what he did and how they followed and how we are to follow. We're going to get into all that as we go through it. I have one question that we want to look at tonight, today. Why did the religious leaders of the day miss this? Why did they miss it? I got a couple ideas. Maybe they were too busy performing the rituals and lost sight of the importance of relationship. Just maybe. I wasn't alive back then, even though I feel like I'm that old sometimes. But maybe they were so involved, they were so busy in performing the outer look that they lost the inward relationship. See, that's what happened to America, isn't it? We're so busy about going to church, we're so busy about looking good in church, we're so busy about representing in church that we miss the relationship. Listen, if you had that moment, that come to Jesus moment, and you haven't been building on that relationship, you're missing it. You're missing the mark. God says, listen, grow in the grace and the knowledge of my son. Grow in that. How do you grow? Well, you grow in it by reading the word of God. You grow in it by praying in obedience to God. Prayer is nothing more than simple obedience. That's it. That's it. Prayer isn't for you to change anybody's mind. Prayer isn't for you to change any circumstance. Prayer isn't for you to be able to overcome. And it's simple obedience to God. Look at the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not one I in that teachable prayer. God, I need this. God, you need to do this for me. God, I'm having this problem. God, will you help me? God, we put the eyes in our prayers. We got to pray in obedience to God. Why? Because that's us sharing our heart to God. God wants to hear our heart. He knows it. He just wants us to realize what our heart is. And then when he answers, listen, I don't know about you, but I have yet to receive an email from God. He's not up with this modern technology stuff. He doesn't use Twitter. Surely doesn't use Facebook. Whew, anyway. He doesn't. Why? Because, listen, he said it once. He gave us the scriptures. He wrote everything down. He put everything for you and I to know and to have. It's all here. He doesn't need to give us anything more. There's nothing new under the sun, right? According to Solomon, there's nothing new under the sun. So therefore, there is no new method. There is no new way. There is no better way. There is no, boy, if you don't do this, you're not saved. Listen, what's God's way? You see, they were too busy performing the rituals and lost sight of the importance of the relationship. Second thing I wrote down, maybe they were too entangled with the world, they lost their purpose. Just maybe. And what do I mean by entangled? Listen, man, there's a web out there that Satan is weaving. There's a web. Kim and I took a ride yesterday, and you should have seen all of the toys I could have bought for sale along that trip. I mean, seriously, there were boats, there were campers, there were Jeeps and boats together. I mean, how could you not buy a Jeep and a boat tied together? I mean, there was tons of stuff. To the point, Kim just said, yeah, okay. yeah, okay. She knows I just talk. But you know, when you look at all that stuff, we're entangled with that. We're entangled with the credit cards. We're entangled with how much is enough? What is enough for you and I to live okay and serve God the way he wants us to serve him? What is enough? How much is enough? I think they may have been entangled in Rome. They were entangled with the people around them. They were entangled in the survival. And listen, we're busy because we have to survive in this world. There's no doubt about that. But there's a difference of surviving than being entangled. When you begin to get entangled, you begin to lose purpose, and you also lose control. The last one I've written down, maybe they became, or it became all about them. Maybe their life became all about them. The things that I need to accomplish, the things that I need. I was listening to the radio this morning, and I couldn't even tell you who or why or what, but it was a radio station, and this person was trying to figure out if they had enough money to retire. I'll listen to that. I'm getting old. My husband has 1.4 million in his. I have 750,000 in mine. They live in a house worth $500,000, and they have $4.1 million in a trust fund. And they don't know if they can retire. Like, holy cow. I'd have been saying, sayonara, you know, man. But how much is enough? We let the world define our joy. We let the world define our worth. We let the world define our happiness and our love and our daily life. Now, there's a great difference of surviving and being in the world, but not of the world. There's a great difference of that and being entangled and forgetting your purpose. And I think you and I are living in a day and age where the purpose John Mark begins to talk about and begins to preach needs to be reminded, as we are need to be reminded with this. Our takeaway this morning, what does the name of Jesus Christ mean to you? I mean, I wrote that down. I'm like, well, that's an obvious answer. Is it? Is it an obvious answer what the name of Jesus Christ means to you? I challenge you to soul search your life. What does that name mean to you? Other than a ticket out of hell. More than just a ticket out of hell. It's more than just a name. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does that mean to you every day? What does that mean to your walk, your struggles, your capabilities, your hurts, your pains, your joys? What does it mean to you every day? What does that name mean? The next thing I've written is, have you lost your purpose? Are you entangled with this world? What are your wake up in the morning and can't wait to do? Wake up in the morning and I can't wait to be a part of. Or wake up in the morning and, man, I got this whole agenda I've got to do. And listen, I love the fact that I know God laughs at my agenda every day. Because if I have an agenda planned full of crazy things, God's going to make sure he wipes them out and I do what he wants me to do. You see, we need to realize we could become entangled. It's so easy. Listen, I do not believe that there is one Christian in America that does not get entangled at times with the world they live in. You almost have to, because you're in it. You're bombarded with it. It's everywhere around you. It's everything you have, everything you see. You have to survive in it. But don't ever let it become part of you to where it begins to make your choices, where it begins to choose who you are. The last one I have this morning is, when you lose reverence, you basically, at that point, lose fear. When you lose fear, you lose knowledge. When you lose knowledge of Jesus Christ, you just lose. You just simply lose. And I think what we've done is we've lost the reverence of who our Jesus Christ is. We lost where some of the Jews even today won't even say the name of God. He is that reverent in their life. We lost reverence in our pulpits. We've lost reverence in our homes. We've lost reverence in our personal lives. When we lose reverence, we lose fear. Lose fear, you lose knowledge. Lose knowledge, you lose. Period. And we need to get back. We need to go back and remember. As we dig into this, the very first thing we're going to see as we study next week, as again, a little bit about what the prophets talked about, is the one coming, preparing the way for the Lord. We're going to look at John the Baptist a little bit next week and see how this now is springboarding from event to event to event to event. But we can't get to the events until we see who he is talking about, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for all that we see today. And God, I pray as we look at this and we understand this in a way that only you can really open our eyes and allow us that understanding. God, we look at it in a way that we really just take a moment and pause. What does your son really name really mean? What is it doing for my worries, my struggles? What is it doing for my joy? What does that name mean? And God, when we begin to open our soul that deep, we find you. Father, I pray as we do that today that we allow you to show us and to teach us. Everything in our lives will change when we allow you back on the throne of our hearts and our minds. And God, we just lift up that to you today. If someone is in earshot and hearing this message and they have never had that come to Jesus moment in their life, God, I pray today is the day of their salvation. May they not have peace. May they not have a restful moment until they make that right. God, we just uplift it to you in your son's name. Amen.